Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we recognize during this season of Lent that You are our King who has crushed death under Your feet. Lord, we praise You for Your cross, and we praise You for Your empty tomb. And we do cry, hallelujah, for what You have done for us. Bless us as we look into Your word, we pray. Lord, please give us ears to hear, minds that are sharp to see what You would have us see, hearts and wills sensitive to Your Spirit, that we may follow You and love You and be obedient to You in speaking Your truth to others. In Jesus' name. Amen. When our standard poodle Penny had her first litter of 10 pups, she was a great mom. I mean, she fed them for weeks, longer than most first moms. She cleaned them, she played with them, she looked after them. Our home was a little bit like the show Too Cute that you see sometimes on the Animal Planet. I have to confess, I watch that sometimes. I enjoy it. You know, it's the one with the puppies and the kittens, and you gotta love it, you know. But we loved it. We loved it, most of it. There were some late nights, but it was good. Penny was fine, even letting the pups go, although she'd run to the window and watch. Sometimes if someone was looking at one of the pups, and she began, you know, as they got older, to pull away a little bit. And, you know, it was interesting watching her and watching the dynamics with Dad, Max, the dad, you know. And then, even though we kept one of the pups, we noticed that a couple of weeks later, after the pups had left, Penny began to mope around a bit. Actually, it was a couple of months later. She began to mope around a bit. Now, what does that mean? She would go into the closet, this walk-in closet in the master bedroom, and she would just lie down in there and sit down in there in the dark. And, you know, she just wasn't as interested in chasing squirrels and doing all these other things that an active, healthy, standard poodle does. Mm-hmm. And we were a little bit concerned about her. And about that time, we planned a play date with the owners of the other pups in the area. And we thought, now this will be interesting. We wonder, how is she going to respond? You know, is she going to recognize, because again, by now the pups are a little bit older, is she going to recognize that these are her own? And I'll tell you, we got to the dog park in Hillsboro, and as soon as Penny saw George, one of her litter, she just lit up. George knew her. She knew George, you could tell, and as the other one showed up, let me tell you, she was one happy mama, and she was, sniffing and rolling and licking faces and playing and frolicking and even prancing. I mean, it was just beautiful to see this interaction with these animals, and we were amazed at the difference that it made for Penny. No more moping, no more closet when we got home. She was just fine, and she didn't go back in. It was interesting. Just such a change. And I tell you this because, well, I'm going to let you figure that part out. But just listen to our readings from our two-year Bible plan this week, and if this is your first time at Peace, you need to know that we are reading through the Word of God with a two-year plan. And last year we read through the New Testament, and this year we started reading Old Testament, New Testament together. And so first year through, but it's coming along. And every Sunday I preach from one of those reading areas. Well, listen to this from Psalm 81, verses 8 through 13. This is one of two passages. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you would have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways. That's the first passage. Now turn with me in your New Testaments to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. As he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. May we pray. Lord, this is your word. And we proceed into it, asking your help again. Help us to take to heart what you are saying to us here. In your name. Amen. There's a thought. It's a thought that's repeated three times in these passages. And again, these passages are both from our reading this week, but they're indicative of several others throughout God's Word, both Old and New Testament. Several others that reflect the very same sentiment. And I summed it up in the title for today's talk, If Only. If Only. And I'm going to let you kind of finish that thought. But this is a fascinating thing when you consider what is really happening here. What is apparent in both of these passages, and again, there are more throughout the Word of God, is that God longs for His people. God longs for us. Now, that is a thought that may not naturally occur to us. We tend to think of God as sovereign, and yes, He absolutely is. He is Lord alone. He will do what He will do. But God has also chosen to enter into a relationship with us. And the dynamics of relationship are displayed in God's Word here for us to see. When I mentioned Penny a little earlier, it was just an illustration from nature. But just think about how God has displayed the concept of longing for the companionship of others, of those that we love, across His creation. And how much more is this true of human beings who are made in the very image of God? When my children were young, I loved to hold them. I loved to protect them. And my daughter was one of those kids, but Jeffrey would kind of melt into you. Stephanie was one of those kids who, well, let me tell you, I was losing my hair at the time, and I'd worn off the back of it just at that point. Well, no, it had, I mean, I'd lost the back of it. But Stephanie had worn off the back of her hair just from looking around in her car seat, you know, and some dear lady at the church asked if that was hereditary. Really did. But I have this picture of Stephanie when she's about maybe 4 years old. I'm taking a nap, and Stephanie's just lying there. Just lying there. And I still think of moments like that where my arms just ache to hold my children like that again, because it goes by so quickly. So quickly. And we want to be able to hold them and protect them from the world, keep them from harm, help them where we can. We know they have to learn independence, but no matter how old they grow, there will be that time where, as a parent, your arms still ache to draw them near. And this is what you see in these passages. But multiply it, dear one, multiply it to a divine degree where the emotion is perfect and beautiful and unselfish. And here in these passages, you see how God looks at his people and even weeps over them and says, if only. If only. Now think for a moment about the heart behind that emotion. The heart behind that longing. I really want to encourage you to take this to heart this morning, because again, we don't tend to think of God this way. We tend to think of God as holding us at arm's length or looking at us critically and measuring us and finding us wanting. Or at worst, we may think of God as uncaring or, you know, maybe disinterested, as your Aunt Irene might feel. But this psalm and this moment with Jesus, they show us this softer side of God's love. A love that is so soft that it would long for us, and so tough that it would go to the cross and suffer for us. It's amazing. But look at this. If only you would listen to me. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Listen to this. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Do you see how tender this is? Do you see the parameters of relationship in this? That there are some things that God will not do for us that we must do as we come for him, as we come to him. You and I have choices to make. Psalm 81:13, if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways. No one is more tender-hearted than God. And God's desire for us is to do us good and to love us. And we, you know, with our independence in our country and the way this is sort of drilled into us, maybe not so much now as it once was, but you know, there is this well, we've joked about the song, I Did It My Way, you know, before. But God looks on us and says, oh, if you would follow me, if you would come my way, there are things I want to show you. There is good that I want to happen for you that cannot happen any other way if you would just come, if you would just follow, if you would just obey me in this place in your life where you struggle. I know it's hard, but would you come? Would you follow? Look at Luke 19, 43 and 44. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. God knows what's coming when we choose to go our own ways. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus was precisely correct. In AD 66, Jerusalem would rebel against Rome, and Rome would lay a brutal siege for 4 years. And then Titus, the son of the emperor Vespasian, killed thousands, tore down the temple, and burned the city to the ground. This is not long afterwards. I mean, we've all learned about the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, right? But again, remember, it started in AD 66. What we have in these two scriptures, in these pictures from God's Word, is a picture not of God holding himself back from us, but of us holding ourselves back from God, right? And isn't this the challenge that you and I face on a daily basis? Let's be honest. Am I going to live my way? Am I going to get up in my schedule? I'm too busy this morning to read my Bible. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to sit down and ask God, Father, what do you want me to do today? What would you have me be about? I got stuff to do. Are we going to live our way? Or are we going to live for him increasingly by his grace, with his help, dependently on him? And isn't this the decision that we make when we struggle with that sin that we just won't quite let go of? God is standing there, and he looks on us in love, and he knows what's coming if we continue to insist on our own way. And he says, if only you would turn to me. You were meant to be near me. If only you knew the pain your actions would bring upon to you. Come to me now. Don't wait until then. You were meant to be near me. Let me love you. Let me take care of you. Make no mistake about it. That is the tenderness of God's heart toward you and me. But what we also see here is that God will not violate the freedom of our choice. Because in order to truly love, we have to be free to choose, do we not? Love, in its purest and best form, is an act of the will. Don't look at the Hollywood couple. Look at the couple that's been married for over 50 years, right? Because, oh, they know each other. And don't look at the ones who say, oh, well, we never had a fight in 50 years. Oh, come on. Look at the ones who say, we've had some. But that's love, right? That act of the will that knows you and is going to stay with you anyhow. Love at its best isn't a compulsion. It's intentional. And it's self-giving, just as God has given himself to us. That's what the cross is all about. That's what the incarnation of Jesus is all about. God coming to us, God making himself real to us, God putting himself out there in a way that he experiences pain, bloodshed, a mortal body, mental anguish, all of these things, so that he could love us to the full degree that we are able to be loved, that you and I could look on this and say, oh, wait a minute, this isn't just some sort of pie in the sky, by and by religion. This isn't just some sort of sensation of desire. You know, where I'm out of touch with the world. This is someone who has entered into this world to the depths of the worst of it and is able to break my chains and set me free. This is who this is. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm blessed to have an older brother that I love very much. This morning I just got a box of fruit from him in California. My brother Dave is 6'3". He kept all of his hair. He's 15 years my senior. My mom has memories of him holding me up against the ceiling when I was just a little guy, and I would look down at him, and I would just laugh at him. He never dropped me, at least not that I know of. Some of you may question that, or how I landed. Dave taught me how to fish, taught me how to play tennis, taught me how to shoot hoops. Always better at that than I was, too. And because he's a doc, he took a special interest in my health. And the other day, I was thinking about him and simply missing him because he lives out in California with the rest of the family. And he heard that I wasn't feeling well, and he called. And it felt so good to talk. You know, it's my big brother, and I missed him. And then he calls. And in that moment, I thought about, oh, I just enjoy your company, you know. And I share that with you because this missing someone who loves us is a good thing. It's a good thing that, in one sense, you know, looking at his character, that God misses us. That he longs for us, even when we don't love him in return. It's sad that it's like that in our hearts and lives. But as we wrap things up today, I'd ask you to consider two thoughts. One is, if only I had more of God's love in my heart, if only I were closer to him, if only I had more of his spirit within me, Scripture tells us, right? Ephesians, keep on being filled with the Spirit. If only I were closer to him, had more of his hope, had more of his peace, had more of a heart like him, had more of the deep fulfillment that he gives. If only. Think that thought, and what are you doing? Who was it? Was it Copernicus who said, I'm not sure, or another who said he was thinking God's thoughts after him as he was examining, you know, the order of things? One of the early scientists. God longs for you to be in that place. God longs for you to long for Him. That always ends well. Now here's the second thought. Think about who else God longs for. We talked about this a little earlier in the service, but you and I have people that we know that He longs to come to Him. Ask Him who that may be. Brothers and sisters to be who have yet to come home. He's calling them. Could you be the person that He's calling them through? Would you ask Him that and tell Him, I want to be your servant in this. I want to meet you, Lord, in this place of longing for others to come to you. Again, sum up the thought, if only God. If only God. As we conclude today, would you tell Him, as we conclude our time together, would you express your heart to Him? The longing for Him that He's placed within you. And if you don't feel that way, would you be honest with Him about it and ask Him to help you? But pray, Lord, if only. Because if we pray like that, say it and mean it, we will never regret it. May we pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Our God longs for us. Our God looks on us and says, if only, where is that place in your life where you need to do business with Him right now? And you need to be real and say, yes, yes. I come to you. I need you. I'm sorry. Help me. Where is that place where you come to Him and say, Lord, I love you, but I need to love you more. I want to. Please help me. Or maybe again, it's a neighbor who needs to come to Him. Who's on your heart? It's why Jesus came. Jesus, we praise you for your cross. And He's given us His Spirit and Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you. And if you've never received Him, what does it mean to receive Him? It means to look at what He did for us on the cross in dying for our sins. And to believe that He did that for us. It doesn't mean that you don't have questions. But you sense drawing you to Him right now. That's His Spirit. That's His longing for you. And if you come to Him and say, yes, Lord, I do receive what you did for me on the cross. I do receive you. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for a new life with you, for you. And I know this won't be easy sometimes, but I know you're good. You've promised, and I'm tired of living life my own way. Please, help me to live in a whole new way with you. Come into my heart and life. Pray that prayer, and he will meet you. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can come because your arms are open wide to us. Thank you that when the prodigal comes, you don't chide, you celebrate. Help us to celebrate with you together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Could ever breathe.
encourage you to remember, we send out the lyrics online as well to the songs. Encourage you to pray this song this week. Our Lord goes with us, and we need to go with Him. Sometimes you may feel like, you know, you're being in life pecked to death by a duck or a peacock, or sometimes it's much worse, and you wonder, God, where are you in all of this? Lean into Him. Love Him. He will sustain you. His word makes this clear. People of God, haven't we seen this again and again and again? He is faithful. So, Lord, may we build our lives upon Your love, upon Your word. You are our firm foundation. Lord, bless us and keep us close. Move in our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to pray. Help us to follow. Help us to love You and love others in such a way that Your love somehow becomes the most salient, evident thing about us, even us. Our beautiful Savior, shine through us in the wonder of all that You are. And all God's people say, Amen. Go in peace. Go in peace. Good night, all. Love you all. Thank you, sir. Oh, God bless you, Julie. Thank you. God bless you all online. Thank you. Thank you. Love you guys. Love you too, Julie, Rick. God bless you guys. Bye, folks. Bye-bye. Love you guys, too.